Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus the Christ.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus, dear Christian friends, our text this morning is our Old Testament lesson from Isaiah chapter 29, and I would highlight these closing verses for you, where he writes, "In that day the deaf shall hear the words of a book, and out of their gloom and darkness the eyes of the blind shall see. The meek shall obtain fresh joy in the Lord, and the poor among mankind shall exult in the Holy One of Israel." This is the text. You may be seated. Have you ever heard anything so unusual? The deaf shall hear the words of a book. Why not the deaf shall hear the voice of a reader, or the sound of salvation, or just simply, the deaf shall hear? But the words of a book? How do you hear the words of a book? I mean, we have computers and tablets and smartphones that can read the text to us, but if you hold a book up to your ear, well, you're not going to hear a thing. Not even the sound of the ocean. What is this prophet talking about? The deaf will hear the words of a book. Well, this prophecy is a promise about that day, the day of the Lord, when he will work his redemption and salvation. It's a day of such wonder and power that the unexpected and miraculous will occur. The deaf will hear, the blind will see, and the afflicted and the needy will rejoice. Jesus fulfilled this prophecy quite literally by healing the deaf and the blind and the crippled while he ministered on earth. The prophecy promises more than that, though. It says that the needy will rejoice in the Holy One of Israel. How often have we heard about that day? It comes up a lot in the Old Testament. Well, it comes up a lot because the people of the Old Testament era were looking forward to a day of salvation. They were looking forward to a time when sin and death would be done away with. And though the day that they were looking forward to was for them in the future, still it was a future that they knew would include them somehow. The one thing the children of Israel needed, that we also need just as much, is peace of mind, forgiveness of sins, life and salvation, somewhere to turn in times of sorrow or sickness and at the approach of death. We still haven't figured out any better answers to those questions than our great-grandparents knew. Our best answer is still the one that Isaiah gives in this text. Sorrow still comes to our lives. We feel as though we have more stress than ever. There are perhaps greater and more subtle dangers surrounding us in our world than there were in past ages. People have devised ever more numerous and persuasive ways to deceive us and cheat us and control us. Our technological world is a different and sometimes frightening place. You can't trust at all what you hear or see in this world of Photoshop, CGI, special effects, and filters. And yet, even with the wonderful technology at our fingertips, we still die. We still die because we still sin. And because we still sin, we still need a Redeemer. Thankfully, God has provided us with one. Jesus Christ has redeemed us from sin, death, and hell. His death on the cross is our death, and his resurrection is our resurrection, shown to us in advance, to comfort us in the face of the dangers of life and the terror of death. Promise to us in the Word of God, he that believes and is baptized shall be saved. Or, as Isaiah puts it, on that day, the deaf shall hear the words of a book, and out of their gloom and darkness, the eyes of the blind shall see. We live in that day, the one spoken of by the prophet. It just isn't as simple as it sounds. Because you see, we are the deaf. We are the blind. And for that to make any sense, in order to follow the prophet's train of thought, you need to remember your catechism and how Dr. Luther taught us in the catechism that we are all spiritually blind and dead and enemies of God. Scripture says directly that no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. In and of ourselves, we can't hear the Word of God. Sure, we can hear the sounds, but without the working of the Holy Spirit in us, we automatically reject it as false, as old-fashioned, out of date, or absurd superstition. We need God to enable us to believe. Just look at the world around us for evidence. 50 or so years ago, everyone went to church, right? Or so it seemed. And those few who didn't go to church were looked on as being antisocial or peculiar or maybe even downright undesirable. Even 25 years ago, our politicians were careful to at least look Christian. But today, going to church is more uncommon than common, even among those who claim to be members of a church. Fewer and fewer TV shows depict families that worship together. All of this illustrates the natural human propensity not to believe. We are, by nature, the deaf of whom Isaiah speaks. We simply cannot, according to our nature, hear and believe in the truth of the Word of God. The peace of God that passes all understanding precisely because we can't see by nature how any of the troubles of life are solved or resolved by faith. We don't see God's hand at work unless He makes us able to see it. But we have that peace because He makes the eyes of the blind, our eyes, to see through the gloom and the darkness of our blindness. We are the afflicted of whom the prophet speaks. And so it is our gladness that is increased as we see and hear and believe that God is with us and that life is not out of control. And we see that the things, even the unfortunate things that happen to us and around us, are the very things that God had promised would come upon those who believe. In our sin and in our suffering, we are the needy of mankind. But the needy rejoice in the Holy One of Israel, for He has forgiven us in the death and resurrection of the Messiah who has come, His Son, Jesus. We rejoice in our forgiveness. It means, among other things, that when all else fails in this life, we have eternal life ahead. We shall rise from our graves and live with the Lord forever. But even while we live here, our sufferings are not pointless and endless and hopeless. God is with us, and He has a plan. He will guide us and keep us, and He will not allow us to bear more than we're able, but will always provide a way of escape and bring us through. That is His promise. That is our faith and our hope. And believing that, we indeed can rejoice and increase our gladness in the Lord. On that day, the deaf shall hear the words of a book, and out of their gloom and darkness the eyes of the blind shall see. The afflicted also shall increase their gladness in the Lord, and the needy of mankind shall rejoice in the Holy One of Israel. This promise brought comfort to the children of Israel, the chosen people of God. They looked forward to the day described in the prophecy, and knowing that it was coming and that they would somehow participate in that day, brought them hope and comfort. That day came on Good Friday when Jesus died in your place and for your redemption. Your sins are forgiven. We live in the day described by Isaiah, and the promise of God spoken by Him is still true. It still brings comfort and hope to the chosen people of God, to you. Today, we do hear the words of a book that we are not naturally able to hear, and we do see through the gloom and darkness of this fallen and corrupt world. Our gladness is increased, even though we're afflicted among the ungodly. And we who are needy have our needs met. Our sins are forgiven. We shall rise from our graves. And we hope confidently in the salvation of our God. All because He has given us to hear and believe the words of a book. Amen. And now, that peace that passes understanding, may it guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.